You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
When asked what they most regretted buying last year, 15% of people said shoes.
Really?
That cannot be girls.
I don't even understand why someone would regret buying shoes.
The only time I regret anything about shoes is if I don't buy them. Like, I walk away and I'm like, no, save money. And I get home, I'm like, why'd you do that?
But once, sometimes they don't have your size and you buy the size down.
That was one time and they were cute. And who cares if my toe bled a little bit? It was fine.
Holy crap.
I can understand like buying clothes too small sometimes, but not shoes. Because you're never going to lose that foot size like you would weight.
Okay, I did once. And only because it's back in the day and there were Timberlands and they were really inexpensive. They were on sale.
Yeah, okay.
But they only had one in stock. So I literally, and the guy.
One chair? Huh? One pair?
One pair.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wow, you just bought one shoe.
One shoe. That's brave.
But the guy actually recommended what I did, which is what I did. I bought them from that store and went and returned them to another department store for full price and bought two pairs of shoes my size for the same price as that one.
That's snaky and something's
it's not right.
Morally wrong about that.
But hey. But I would do it.
Yeah. Okay, so regretting buying shoes, and for the girls too, when they do return shoes, a lot of times it's because they hurt so bad, I guess. Those high heel shoes that you girls wear, I don't know how you do it. It's magic or something.
It hurts.
I think maybe that could be a good Torture Tuesday, is have Cato wear like high heel shoes for a whole day.
I've done it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, on the weekends. Torture Tuesday when I was the French maid.
Okay,
remember?
Okay.
And my feet hurt.
Honestly, I would jump on the wagon there and do that as well. Tom, will you wear girls' high heel shoes for a day? Just for Torture Tuesday?
I don't think that would work. I'd probably break them.
Well, I'll be honest. I wish you'd told me before I donated the size 12 woman's pumps to Salvation Army.
Those are hard to find.
I no longer have those.
Yeah.
Cato, I will say, thanks to you, there's some big-boned woman out there with a nice pair of high heels.
I should go back and just look and see if they're still there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, when it comes to walking and stuff like that, how many miles do you think that the girls walk a day in those high heel shoes?
Well, nowadays we know how many steps they take, so.
Yeah, it depends on what you do. But you get used to them. I mean, high heels. They don't hurt after a while. Your feet just go numb. It's wonderful.
But I can see why you would take them off at work and just, you know, walk around barefoot or whatever. And
yeah, that's nasty.
But you see the girls downstairs in the cubicles and stuff, they'll have the high heels off to the side and I guess wear flats or something.
You know what, though? It hurts 10 times worse when you put them back on. Like, if you take your shoes off because they hurt and you put them back on, it hurts so much worse.
I had a friend who said, and this is what he said about his mom, said that she wore high heel shoes so much in her life that her feet kind of
shaped that way.
And so her bedroom shoes were high heel bedroom shoes.
Did her shoes like, or her toes go to a point?
I didn't pay attention.
I mean, I think so.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's just like those native tribes where they make their like bodies shaped to certain things. Well, they make their foreheads real long and skinny and all.
But I heard that some women actually get plastic surgery on their feet so they can fit in shoes overseas and stuff. Like, you know, they'll cut off a pinky toe or something.
You're reading way more internet than I am.
I think you're making stuff up now.
I'm not making that up. I saw it on the internet.
Lose a whole.
Someone else made it up, Tori.
Okay, but the average person walks about 4.3 miles a day. Now, Tom.
I don't try to walk a lot.
You do maybe four steps a day. 4.3 miles a day. That's quite a bit, I would say.
No, I don't.
No. I would think people, they may have confused it, and that's how far we go in our rolling chairs at work.
It's an office chair per year
or
per week.
If you're doing 4 miles in heels, that should count double.
I agree.
It's twice the work, so that's technically 8 miles. So go ahead.
I agree.
Eat that piece of cake. You earned it.
How many steps is that? Because I know our steps to get up to our studio is 22 steps. Mm-hmm. So I go up and down. That's 44.
Yeah.
To my car, 50,
that's about it.
60 home, and then, that's
I checked
it.
The mail once, too.
So you get maybe 100 steps a day, Tom?
I don't know. I never did get to 10,000, that's for sure.
Well, they say walking.
The whole time I owned it.
They say walking is one of the best exercises you can do if you don't do the official, running or exercise that you need to do every week or day. And then something new here, a study shows hopping. Hopping is actually good exercise and helps lift your mood if you hop.
If you're a rabbit.
But don't leapfrog.
Okay.
After so long, your legs start hurting. I couldn't walk up the steps one time.
But I bet your butt looked amazing.
It's not like doing squats. But you know what? I'm curious about this. They say it will lift your mood if you hop. So why don't we do some hopping here on the Hawk and Tom Show?
You just
hop up and down. Go, Tori. Why are you not?
And it's already hot in here. I'll cheer y'all on.
It's fun.
You're doing great. This is making me hot watching them.
Not me. I just feel like I feel bad for them.
You know what? I did get kind of a little rush or a high right there, didn't you?
I'm going to have to lay down.
I guess hopping can make you happy, but if you're in an apartment and you're doing that right now, it doesn't make the people downstairs happy, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Why would you not participate, Tori? I thought you would hop with us.
I told you. It's hot in here.
She's the female Tom.
She is.
I'm not. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome.
I'm grumpy today. Leave me alone.
She is.
It's Monday.
Is she really?
She usually stands up when we talk, and she's not standing today, and I figured this is not a day to talk to her.
I've moved twice today.
Honestly. What? Tom, you are such a bad influence on her.
I didn't influence her. She's been like me for a long time.
Pass those cheese balls.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
All right, I got a question about your car. Do you have a nickname for your car? Now, Kato, you used to call your car a name.
Betsy?
Was it Betsy?
Yeah.
No. Well, Betsy, so you weren't sure?
It's been a while since I had to call her out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does your new car have the same nickname?
Of course.
Okay, I didn't know if you kept the same name.
Yeah.
I feel like each car has its own personality.
Yeah, I never named my car.
Yeah?
I had friends back in college, they would name their car funny names.
Like what?
Like the Rocket, because it was not Rocket, it was Slow.
Right. Yeah. I had a friend who had a Pontiac Le Mans, and he called it the Lemons.
Okay.
Because, a lemon is not a good car, and so his car wasn't the best.
Okay. Had one, they call it like a cruise ship. It was like the Carnival. They call it the Carnival because it was so big.
Well, we had a friend of ours. His mom had a fake wood paneled station wagon. We once got 17 people in it.
Oh, wow.
And we called it the sled.
Okay.
I don't know exactly why, but it handled like a sled, I think. It just, you'd go around a turn and the front end would still be pointing the other direction for a while and then it'd slowly catch up.
You got 17 people in there, I call it the clown car.
I know, well.
You go to the circus and you see those clowns, like 71 clowns will get out of a car.
Yeah, but this one was big. You expected it to hold a lot of people. Okay. It was enormous. But they say that 1 out of 3 people have a nickname for their car. Now, a lot of them use things like pop culture, like the Batmobile, or I had a friend, the same guy that his mom had the sled, his car was called the Beast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or, no, I'm sorry, Animal. It was called Animal.
Animal, huh?
Beast was mentioned as one of the nicknames, but his was Animal. And that's we were like, are you taking Animal out tonight?
Yeah.
And it was a hot rod. It was fast, so kind of a cool name for a car like that, I guess.
But see, if I'd say I'm taking Betty out tonight, they're like, oh, you got a date.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're like, you can't remember if it's Betty or Betsy, it sounds like you're dating around.
The twins.
Yeah.
I'm going to take out my Chevy Cavalier. The company named it for me. Chevrolet. Thank you.
Okay. That doesn't sound as good.
Mm-mm.
Love Bug was another one that people mentioned from old movie. Millennium Falcon from Star Wars.
Yeah.
They mentioned the Beast or Silver Bullet. Someone has a silver car, maybe they're proud of it, or they could be, as you mentioned, being sarcastic. And also self-deprecating names like Turtle, the Slug,
yeah,
Puddle Jumper, or Rolling Turd. But people said they consider their car's personality when they name the car, which I get it. I mean, I understand the car doesn't really have feelings, but it does. There's a personality, I think, that fits your car.
Mine's the Hunk.
The Hunk?
Of junk.
Okay.
Because it falls apart on me all the time.
Oh.
That's not good.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they said some of the names that people have given their cars for a Buick, one person called it the four-wheeled coffin, which I don't know if that was a reference to safety or a reference to the fact that old people buy Buicks a lot. So maybe they're just driving around in their coffin.
Probably both in some ways.
Okay, I don't know. I never thought of the Buick as being like unsafe, but I do see a lot of old people driving
it. If it's old enough, it's unsafe because they don't have any airbags and stuff in there.
All right, Cybertruck. I can't say that one on the radio, but it was a reference to the person driving the car and what they were. So I think right now you see a lot of Cybertrucks, people that bought them and they thought they were doing like, look, I'm saving the economy or the ecology. I'm saving the earth. And then all of a sudden it got associated with Elon Musk and politics. And now I've seen an actual Cybertruck where someone put Toyota on the back of it.
Oh, wow.
I think just to confuse people so they wouldn't scratch it or do anything to it. And one person had a sticker that said, I bought this before Elon Musk went crazy.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying to, you know, get, I guess, out of that association.
I read something that raccoons were trying to get into them because they were mistaking them as trash cans.
Oh, my.
I don't know if that's true or not.
It sounds like an urban legend.
It's pretty funny either way.
I look at the Cybertrucks like, you remember when the Hummers were the thing and everybody could afford a Hummer and you know, like you couldn't? And you'd see one like, wow, that's the same thing with the Cybertruck now.
I'm the crazy person that thinks they're kind of cool in a weird way. I mean, first of all, anything electric power is usually fast, at least surprisingly so. And no matter what you say about them, you look when you see one.
The silver ones remind me of Back to the Future and that car that they had.
The DeLorean.
Yeah.
They're all silver originally.
If you go fast enough, do you like time travel?
No.
Well, I was just being
silly. I was making sure.
Okay.
They said windowless white van was called Stranger Danger.
Uh-huh.
I actually saw a windowless white van, and I was like, wow, I didn't know anyone actually made those.
I saw one where they painted free puppies on the side.
Yeah, free candy is the best one.
Oh, my.
The puppy one would get me. I'd be like, what kind of puppies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said also the white Jeep Wrangler with sorority letters on the window is Mean Girl.
My mom drives a white Jeep Wrangler.
Does she have sorority letters in the window?
No, but she does have a ducky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone named their Subaru Ellen. I'm not sure why. This is bad. Corvette was Lil Willie.
Huh. I don't have a Corvette. Tom.
I know, and I don't like that nickname.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
I got the silly health mistakes you didn't know you were making. Now, we all know about some of the health mistakes that we have out there, like breakfast skipping, stiletto wearing, volume blasting, sleep skimping, soda drinking, all that kind of stuff. We know about those, right?
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I'm glad we do. Now, here are some that we may not know that we do, and one of them caught Tori's attention. And if you girls are like, if you guys are fashionably wearing some of the or using some of the like yellow or green or orange purses out there, that's something bad. I'll tell you about that last.
No, don't keep dragging that out.
I have to. Because one of the things that you are doing wrong that's affecting your health is you hang up damp clothes and towels inside your house. Fresh from the washer, your laundry may look clean, but it pollutes the air, they say. Damp clothes can increase humidity, and it creates like dust mites and mold spores to grow. And they say, depending on where you live, at concentrations 300% higher than safe limits. So you got those towels or certain, you know what? You don't want that sweater or that shirt to shrink up. So I'll just lay it over this, staircase or whatever, and let it dry inside the house. It's bad for you.
No, you hang it from a ceiling fan, and then you turn the fan on, and it makes the room smell so good.
Yeah. What do you do with your wet towel after a shower? Throw it away.
I put it over the shower.
That's what you just said not to do.
I know. That's what I'm saying. This is what I do. I'm not saying it's healthy, but I do that.
you know, the only point of these studies is I'm going to continue living my life exactly how I did before, right. but I'm going to think about how I'm affecting my life now.
I don't even know if I believe it.
Well, 25% of the homes where laundry was air-dried tested positive to fungus that causes lung infections in people with weakened immune systems. And just because you don't see that green fuzzy stuff on the wall doesn't mean you're safe. Spores are often invisible to the naked eye.
Well, I don't have a weakened immune system, so I'm okay.
Here's where I think it makes sense. Like, let's say you dry a lot of your clothes inside the house where they're super wet. That could be a problem. Now, you see a lot of people got the clothesline out there, especially here in the South. Can't do it with some HOA places where you live. Like, my HOA does not allow us to have, you know, clothes where we can hang them outside, like on those laundry racks.
Well, and I know my grandma used to do that, but I've tried it once, and then my clothes smelled like outside. I didn't like it.
Especially if somebody's grilling out right beside you.
And your jeans are stiff.
Yeah, you got to really work them on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you can agree or disagree. That's one of the health mistakes that people are making. If you dry your clothes a lot, I think a towel is not going to have that much spores on it unless you've used it for 6 days in a row and not washed it, and it smells funky, and then you smell funky after you dry yourself off after a shower.
Well, what's the days amount of days you're not supposed to? I mean, how many?
He just made that up.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, another health mistake you might be making, you brush right after breakfast. You clean your teeth directly following a meal or a drink. They say every time you drink a beverage like coffee or orange juice, acid floods your mouth. So if you brush your teeth before your saliva neutralizes the pH, you're essentially scratching the acid into your slightly softened enamel, which accelerates erosion on your enamel in your teeth. So people brushed within 20 minutes after, with this study, people brushed within 20 minutes after drinking something acidic, like maybe a diet soda also, they lost more dentine. I guess that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Dentine, I believe.
Dentine, okay. The layer under the enamel. So when you are brushing right after you drink something acidic, that's doing damage to your teeth.
So if you slosh with water afterwards, is that good? Does that bring the acidity down?
What they say.
I almost stuttered that word.
Here's what you do. After you finished an acidic beverage like fruit juice, soda, wine, drink a cup of water and wait for at least 30 minutes before you brush is the way you can take care of that.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a good excuse for not to brush. And then finally, you ready? Here we go, Tori. You carry a shiny yellow, orange, or green, those bags out there that you might have bought at the jockey lot.
Oh, you're not supposed to do shiny because then whenever it gets beat up, it's really noticeable.
No, it's not that.
That's not
what I would have guessed. Yeah.
You picked a bright faux leather accessory. Handbags, wallets, belts made of that bright pleather-looking stuff, usually vinyl or PC. Oh, I'm sorry, PVC. Uh-huh. Frequently contain lead levels that are much higher than those allowed in children's products. So they're making those out of lead and stuff. Oh. And so the highest lead content is found in the yellow purses, followed by green, orange, and red. So
interesting.
Yeah. If it's in style, they're still going to buy it.
They probably will.
This is very true. It's not going to stop me. If I go shop, which I am going shopping today, if I find a cute little green bag, especially if it's olive green, I'm buying it.
And you're like, how much lead's in this purse? I'm kind of curious.
It's going to lead me right to the cash register.
And they say that the lead, it transfers and traces amounts like from the handbag to your hand to your mouth. So I don't know if you're sucking on your fingers or whatever. And they say it causes problems like in children with heart disease and a cancer in adults. So it can cause that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So they say they found high levels in about 15% of purses and accessories sold in major stores.
So is that the difference between, because growing up it was pleather. It was like you could hear us walking down the hall because our pleather pants were
exactly.
Like,
rah, 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 rah. Yeah.
So is that why now it's faux leather and it's more expensive because it doesn't have that stuff? Or are they just like upcharging like everybody else?
I think they were afraid people would not know that pleather was an animal and they wanted to make sure you knew it was faux leather.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking.
It's fake.
I think they got to make sure people understand because people, you know, get all upset about the animals' rights. And so they're like, listen, this is not leather. Pleather is not like some kind of animal.
we're hunting pleathers today. Everybody, to the TJ Maxx.
You can just see a special with Attenborough. Talk about, there she is in her natural habitat shopping for a purse.
The elusive pleather.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Hey, movies. They're saying over the weekend, of course, Jurassic World Rebirth did well at the box office. A lot of people wanting to see that one. Now, it is getting mixed reviews. They say the dinosaurs are great, but the humans don't look real in this movie. So, you know, times are a-changing a little bit there. And we were just talking about fashion, about, you know, when you girls have those yellow, orange, and green purses, they may have lead or contain lead in them. But this week, 20th Century Studios confirmed filming has started on The Devil Wears Prada 2.
I saw, and all the originals are going to be in there.
Yes. So good. Yeah, and it's top chick flick. A lot of, and even guys like that movie. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. But you know what? I was thinking maybe, you know, have a different, I don't know, a different theme. Maybe the devil's cash strapped and have, like, the devil wears Crocs and socks.
The devil wears Prada.
Yeah. There you go.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I've met a lot of vegan people over the years, and a lot of them fall into the stereotype. They always tell you, oh, whenever you meet a vegan, how will you know? And you're like, don't worry, they'll tell you. But not all of them are that way.
Yeah.
But I saw this study today I thought was rather interesting. It's a study that says there's surprising new news about vegan people and what we expect them to be like. Hmm. It turns the assumptions that we have about people who choose plant-based diets upside down. They say it turns out vegetarians might actually be more power-hungry, achievement-oriented, and individualistic than their meat-eating counterparts. Now, when you think of a vegetarian person or a vegan person, you think of someone as being wimpy because they're not even getting any meat in their diet, for goodness sakes. They're just barely getting by on vegetables, and they got, you know, you think thin, reedy, and not very athletic.
But if you think of the mentality of it, where everybody else is like, this steak is so good, and you're like, Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
It takes a mentally strong person for that.
That's true.
To sit there and to sit across from you eating that steak.
See, and I'm like, Brussels sprouts with my steak.
Yeah. Right? Mm. Especially the kind that have that
the glaze.
Glaze on them. Like, oh, theirs are so good. You're making me hungry. They say society typically pegs vegetarians as compassionate souls who prioritize kindness, community harmony, and caring for others.
No.
But the study of people in the U.S. found that vegetarians scored lower on values like benevolence.
Oh, wow.
Caring for close family and friends, security, which is wanting stability and safety, and conformity, which is following social norms.
Well, you know what? Going back to benevolence and thinking about other people, think about it. You're having a potluck. You got that vegetarian. It's going to bring whatever they're going to bring. They ain't thinking about us at all.
Coleslaw.
You better be good.
I like coleslaw.
Can they eat coleslaw?
Not if they're vegan, because of the dairy in it.
What does benevolent mean?
Benevolent is like, I'm gonna
ask. I looked at Hawk and I'm like, oh, Hawk knows what it means?
No, I just heard Tom say it with the other part and I'm like, oh, okay.
Context clues.
I'm sorry. Wait, I didn't mean to use a big word. I even said caring for close friends and family.
See,
afterwards.
That's what I knew. Then I'm like, okay, it has something to do with that.
Oh, see, I thought it was two different things. Okay. All right. All right.
Now, if you think about it, they definitely aren't conformist, because they're willing to speak out in a world full of meat eaters and go, I'm not going to do that.
Right. Yeah.
So they obviously are nonconformist, but they're not necessarily the selfless do-gooders that we imagine. Vegetarians appear to be independent thinkers who aren't afraid to buck social trends, even if it means putting their personal goals over group harmony.
Huh. Yeah.
So that could be a good thing in a way, even though it doesn't sound like it. It makes them sound selfish, but at least they're not the pushovers that everyone thinks they are.
Right,
they're
yeah.
actually standing up for what they believe in, and they are willing to push back against conformity.
I agree that they push back, because look at all these restaurants that had to go vegan in some shape or form because of vegans.
And you know what's so interesting? I Googled how many vegans are in America, and they say approximately 1% of the population identifies as vegan. This translates to about 3.3 million people.
Wow.
So that's vegans. It's not vegetarians.
But right. Vegan is much stricter than vegetarian. Vegan can't have anything at all to do with dairy. Like, they can't have eggs, they can't have milk, nothing.
I would have looked up the vegetarian, but I didn't know how to spell it.
Y'all are scaring me a little.
That was me with benevolent. I was like, B-E-N, evolent.
Okay. Here we go. A vegetarian, there's 3% of the population identifies as vegetarian. So you put them together, or would that be like 4%?
I think that vegans would be included in the vegetarians.
Only 3% of the people are going to be climbing up the company ladder.
Well, no, you didn't listen to anything I said.
What?
They're actually... benevolent. No, they're not benevolent.
They're aggressive, though. That's like they do better in the workplace because they're more aggressive.
He was busy trying to spell vegetarian.
That's right. It took him long enough to figure out vegan.
They basically say that these stereotypes are not accurate, and that they basically say that vegetarians and non-vegetarians are basically have more in common in some ways, but that they're actually tougher and they're more able to work their way up the company ladder than the non-vegetarians.
That's what I was saying.
That's not what you said.
That's what I said.
It literally was the opposite of what you
no,
said.
No, it wasn't, because I was saying that's why. Anyway.
Yeah.
If you go back...
I'm not going to.
And if we could go rewind. That's my rewind sound effect.
Okay. Well, I thought that was interesting because I was surprised. I always thought of vegetarians as being like kind of a little wimpy.
You know, every time I make eggs and it has that weird white stringy thing
I'm going to go vegan.
I think about it. Uh-huh. I really do.
Well, you've told us, and I hope this isn't a secret, but you said that you're not loving some of the meat as much as you used to.
It's so gamey. Chicken.
Chicken is too chickeny.
Yeah, it is. It tastes, it's gross sometimes.
And hamburger is too hamburgery?
No, I like that. Especially if it's like a little pink, a little runny.
Ooh.
See, it makes no sense.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm
you're
so
still
benevolent.
Beat our club then. You're not benevolent. You're a meat eater.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.